Who has a phone? Who's got your phone here? Who's got a smartphone? Anybody have a smartphone? A couple people? I do. A smartphone? A smartphone would be like a phone that you could do like web browsing and email and that kind of stuff on. So, actually, most phones are smartphones right now. Reason I'm asking is this series that we're starting, we're talking about technology and technology and how it's part of our lives. And it's a huge part of all of our lives, actually, I would say, probably more than you realize. It's an integrated part of our lives. And I don't know about you guys, but I have some morning rituals with that technology. Like, who within 5 minutes of waking up touches technology in some way, whether it's your phone, your TV, internet, something like that? Yeah, majority of us. Yeah, so people have two hands up, exactly. I know I do. As soon as I wake up, honestly, for one, it's my alarm. So there's one. So like, I kind of have no choice but to touch it the second I wake up, like, shut up. So it's my alarm. But, you know, then the other thing is, as soon as I wake up, like while I'm laying there after about the fourth time I've hit snooze, I'll grab my phone and check my texts, check my emails, check my Facebook. And then I actually have an app on there that's the Bible. So sometimes I'll sit there and read a little bit, but not every day, if I'm being honest. All right, doesn't happen every day. But I try to. And it's always running in the background of our lives, technology is. It's a huge part of our culture. It's a huge part of who we are today, and especially in America. It's just a huge part of everything that goes on around here. It's everything in this room, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? We got these new TVs and the projector, and, you know, I'm teaching using my iPod. I mean, it's an integrated part of everything that we do, and each of us have a relationship with technology. In a different way, you know, some of us more than others. Some people are addicted to Facebook in the craziest way, you know what I mean? I know what some of you had for breakfast this morning kind of thing, because it was, you know, it was on your Facebook. And, you know, I knew, you know, what some of you guys did yesterday. Some of you might know that I went to Sesame Street Live and Red Robin for dinner last night because I put it on my Facebook, okay? So, yeah, and I had the Bayou Burger for anybody that wondered. Probably won't get it again. Side note. Anyway, wasn't bad, but and you guys are probably waiting for me to say, well, according to the Bible, we need to just totally get rid of technology and just totally forget it. If I were to say that, I'd be the biggest hypocrite in the room, okay? Number one. Because anybody that knows me at all and knows anything about me knows that technology is a huge part of my life, and I love it. And I love all kinds of stuff with it. But I'm not going to say that we need to get rid of it, because it's a big part of our world, and we can't get rid of it completely. We physically can't do it. It's not possible to live in this day and age without technology. So how do we kind of interact with technology and use the technology that we have to where it doesn't become so important to us? How can we look at technology in a way that's to where it doesn't become a god in our life? That's really kind of what we're going to talk about right now, because I think that's kind of a problem with a lot of us, not just teenagers, all right, not just students, people in general in this day and age. We're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, if you got your Bibles, the Bible doesn't really talk a whole lot about technology. It does a little bit, but not very much, and actually that's good, because it keeps the Bible kind of timeless. You know, if it was talking like, you know, Paul was walking around with his 8-track player, I mean, like, it's not relevant, because you guys don't even know what that is. You know what I'm saying? So it can keep the Bible, okay, maybe some of you do, my bad. It can keep the Bible relevant and timeless, because it's not talking about those kinds of things, you know what I mean? And in the 80s, all the rage was, you know, the new CD players that were coming out in boom boxes, and you got the dudes, you know, with the boom boxes kind of thing, and like, that's, we're like, dude, I don't need a boom box because I got my iPod now, you know what I mean? And then it went from iPods to now the iPad came out, and in 10 years we're going to look back at that and go, that thing's retarded. But, you know, it's pretty amazing, because I went to Best Buy and played with one, to be honest. It's pretty sweet. But it the fact that technology isn't in the Bible a whole lot keeps this book relevant to us. And it might seem like, well, what in the world are you going to pull from the Bible that's going to relate to this one bit? Well, the series that we're talking about is called Babel. So we're going to start with the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. So this takes place in a town called Babel. Now, if you think about it, the book of Genesis, right, beginnings, okay, so we're only 11 chapters into the Bible, so we're not very deep into human existence, all right? Creation wasn't that long ago in terms of when this story took place. So if you think about that, this will maybe answer some interesting questions for you in the underlying part. So let's start with verse 1 in chapter 11. It says, at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. Okay, now this is kind of weird. We're just going to stop right there for a second. At this time, there was no different languages on the entire planet. Everybody spoke whatever they spoke. I don't know, I'm going to guess Hebrew. All right? Everybody spoke Hebrew or whatever it was. All right? There was no different dialects. There wasn't like the people in the South had an accent. You know, I mean, it wasn't like that at all, you know? I mean, just like you go down south, I have family that lives in Texas. They live right outside of Dallas. They live in Mesquite. And I go down there and I go to a restaurant and they're like, what do you want to drink? And I'm like, give me a Coke. And they're like, what kind of Coke you want? And I'm like, a Coke, you know? And they're like, well, you want like a Mountain Dew Coke or Dr. Pepper Coke? Or, and I'm like, really? I'm like, it's Coca-Cola, like a Coke, you know? But like to them, everything's Coke. I almost ordered, like, can I have an iced tea Coke? See what that would look like? I don't know. But knowing that, they'd like, mix Coke and iced tea, and that'd just be, like, a suicide but kind of thing. But, you know, you got different dialects all over the place. Even if you go to southern Ohio, you know, you've got different dialects. At this time, on the planet, there was none of that. Everybody spoke the same thing. You could say Coke, and they knew, well, they didn't know what Coke was, but because it was a long, long time ago, but they all understood everything because there was no different dialects. So that's kind of where we're at. So this will maybe answer the question for you, why do we all speak different languages? Here you go. Verse 2. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, the bricks were used instead of stone and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. Okay, let's stop there for a second. These people sound nuts to me, all right? They just sound kind of crazy because they're like, hey, we just moved here. Let's make the hugest tower ever as a monument to us. Okay? You know, I don't know. They just sound crazy to me. And all they really wanted, I guess, was fame. And they got it, just not in the way that they wanted. Not at all in the way that they wanted. Let's continue on here, verse 5. It says, but the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they speak all the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. And that way the Lord scattered them all over the world. They stopped building the city. That's why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages, and this way he scattered them all over the world. So let's go back to verse 6 here real quick. Verse 6, it says, people are united, they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. So was God basically saying, well, was he coming down and being like the big brother and being, you know, the man keeping the thumb down on him, you know, like, well, forget that. Look, they're doing something awesome. Let's confuse them because they're doing something awesome. Do you think that's really what it was? Like, did they become, like, invincible? You know, to the point where, like, well, shoot, if we're all united and we can all speak the same language, we can overthrow God? No, not at all. That's not what it was saying. Another translation, the Message Bible. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's really not a translation. It's kind of a commentary. It's a paraphrase, really. But it kind of says it like this in these verses. One people, one language. Why, this is only a first step. No telling what they'll come up with next. They'll stop at nothing. Come, we'll go down and garble their speech so that they won't understand each other. So they thought they were God in a way, and they kind of, because of their technology, they thought they were just going to push God to the side, and he became non-existent. He wasn't even a factor, not even important to them at all. And they tried to show up God using their technology. So what was their technology? Bricks. Yeah. And you're like, really, bricks? But yeah, back then, I mean, if you think about how early this was in existence, you know, bricks was a big deal because they could, you know, they could make like structures and things like that. Bricks was, those were the technology that was, you know, this was all the rage. That was the iPad, you know, kind of thing. But the bricks weren't the problem. The bricks weren't the problem. Their intent was the problem. Okay? The intent of the people was the problem. There's nothing wrong with technology. Nothing wrong with technology at all. There's nothing wrong with having an iPod or a phone or a smartphone or whatever it is. The problem becomes our intent. They were the highest technology at the time, and these people took something that was a tool that was meant to make their lives a little easier and a little better, and used it to kind of fill their own desires and their own wants and their own needs and eliminate their need for God. They took the knowledge and creativity that God was able to give them and just sort of went, whatever, God, we can do this, we're good to go. We have a choice about what to do with our bricks, about what to do with our phones, with our iPods. You know, he gives us people, you know, humans. He gives us knowledge and creativity to be able to make this stuff work and to be able to have these things that do make our lives easier. I mean, honestly, I know for a fact, just part of my job to make my job easier is my phone. I know Shane's the same way. You know, just having my phone and everything that I can do on my phone makes my life easier. Not only to interact with you guys and to talk with you guys, but just like to be able to get emails and to be able to be reached and things like that. It makes it a lot easier. But we have to decide how the role technology is going to play in our life. We have to decide the way that it's going to look in our lives. We can make it our God. We can make this phone our God, and we can let it control our wants and our needs and everything. We can let it control us, and we don't even realize it. It'll slowly do that to us. And a lot of us have probably never stopped long enough to even think about what our relationship with our technology is. Probably just, it's just not even on your radar. You don't even think that, wow, maybe I'm spending a little too much time texting. Maybe I'm spending a little too much time on my phone. Are you using your technology for good or for evil? I spend a little too much time on Facebook, a little too much time on the internet, and I end up getting into things that on the internet and clicking on things that I know I shouldn't because I'm spending too much time on there. I talked about that, you know, up in the bridge. You know, there's a lot out there on the internet that you can stay away from. 3/4 of the websites on the internet are porn. You know, there's a lot of things out there that if we make this technology that's in our lives, that is meant to make our lives easier, if we make that our God, sometimes we can set ourselves up for disaster and we don't even realize that we're doing it. So have you allowed the technology in your life to somehow replace God? And you're like, Jay, man, maybe you're blowing this out of proportion. Maybe I'm not. How you decided to use technology tells a lot about the role you let it play in your life. How you use it tells a lot about the role you let it play in your life. I guarantee you, some of you in here have texted while I was talking today. Guaranteed. Some of you, in fact, I guarantee you, a lot of you, won't even be able to put your phone down for a stinking 45-minute service up on the bridge. And I'm telling you this right now, Sean sees it from the stage, and it's annoying. It's disrespectful, right? When Ed's going to be up there and he's going to be preaching live in the bridge, I'm telling you right now, starting in June, he's going to be speaking live in the bridge. If he sees you texting, I guarantee you he is going to call you out and embarrass you in front of all 500 people up there. So, how has technology become too much in our lives? We can't even put our phone down or at least leave it in our pocket while Ed's preaching. or while I'm up here talking, or while Sean's singing. You can't put it away for half an hour to just give glory to God for a half an hour and sing to Him. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I mean, you guys, you'll even sit in a row right in front of me and you don't even care, you know? And I'm like, good grief. The role that you let the technology play in your life, you don't have to tell me. I can watch and see. I get texts from you guys in the middle of the service. I'm like, really? You know? You ever notice I don't write you back for the most part? I have one or two times because it was like an emergency. For the most part, I won't write you guys back. I have my phone on just in case because I'm a pastor and if somebody needs to get a hold of me type of thing. But guys, it's obvious to watch you guys the role that technology has in your life. I don't think I'm blowing this out of proportion now that we're kind of just calling a spade here. You know what I'm saying? So our connection point for the day is this, and I don't mean to come down bad on you guys because I'm just as guilty of this as anybody. All right? I'm preaching to myself, all right? Val will tell you. She hates my phone. She hates my phone. What is your relationship with technology? What is your relationship with technology? That's our connection point for the day. Maybe it is something you just look at as a tool. Maybe it's something that's way more than that. Maybe it's something that you need to just leave in your purse or leave in your pocket for a time. It can be a tool in your life to connect and to entertain and to encourage, and it can be used for good, but it can also be used for bad. It can be used to destroy and tear down people. How many have been burned by something on Facebook where you type something on Facebook to somebody? Or maybe it's just a lot easier if you're mad at somebody to just text them something really mean because you don't have the guts to say it to their face. You know what I mean? Technology can burn us. Technology can help us. How are we deciding to use it?